pageantry, no red carpet, no award music intro this time because we're going to get these very wrong. But and we're back! Welcome to the Mike and Oscars way too early Oscars prediction. We're predicting the 2019 Academy Awards today. I am your host, Mike. This is my co-host, also Mike.
I'm also Mike, and yeah, this is our very first look. Nobody's seen these movies. Nobody knows anything.
Nobody's heard of these.
William Goldman.
Half these guys could be embroiled in a scandal by the time the Oscars run around, but we're here now, and we're going to do this. This is something we'll be doing periodically throughout the year. We keep telling you that we're giving you different flavors of different kind of predictions, previews, reviews, all different types of shows. Going into the spring and summer, because that's when we're trying to get everything in order for you guys down the road, for you to be able to watch them and know what is worth your time and what will be taking form in the Oscar picture as the year goes on here, even though we just got finished with one Oscar season. The next one starts right up, right around the corner, because award season for us is a full-time job.
Yeah, this is basically the pod to get these movies on your radar. Like, you have a radar, and we are going to, I guess, jam it in some way, like Spaceballs?
Yeah, it's like when it comes up and it gets a lot of press, you could be, you know, pound your chest and tell you, oh, I know, I've heard of that one. We're just trying to make you arrogant. You'd be
like, oh, Julianne Moore, of course she's coming out in this year's picture.
Basically, the whole purpose of anything we do is to make you look like the most intelligent amongst your friends and be resented by them. And if we could do that for you, that's a job well
done. We will fall
us
on our faces to make you look cool. Right. Correct.
Right, because we've never been able to for ourselves.
Mike and Oscar.
But yeah, we're here. We're going to be going over. Here's how this episode is going to work. We're going through a bunch of movies that experts, different periodicals and whatnot have kind of deemed the movies to see for the year. And you can just tell also by the cast and the kind of momentum they're getting here at the early part of this movie season, movie year. And we're going to be going through them, describing them, giving you a little IMDb, giving you some highlights, some people that are in them, our thoughts, other people's thoughts, keep it all in one concise episode for you. And as we go along here, we're going to be giving you official picks way too early. I'm sure they will be edited down the line. Of course, we did our first episode, which was right after the summer, which we had kind of our Oscars year to date. That's probably when you'll be next hearing this, I would imagine, as we do another one come September, October time. But we just wanted to kick off the year with an eye looking forward, since that's what our recent episodes have been about, and that's what this one's going to be about, too.
Looked at Variety, USA Today, Observer, all over the internet for some of this buzz. Kind of putting it all together for you today.
Buzz is the word I could not come up with buzz on my own. Thank you very much. So let's get started. Let's no need to beat around the bush anymore, even though I probably should for comedic sake. But no, let's do it. Films to Get Familiar With is the title of this document we're reading off of, put together wonderfully by also Mike, who has just been on a content storm lately.
What's that first word, Mike? Sorry. Stupid joke.
First Man is the first film we're going to be talking about. The description from IMDb has it at a look at the life of astronaut Neil Armstrong and the legendary space mission that led him to become the first man to walk on the moon, July 20th, 1969. Of course, it is directed by Damien Chazelle of La La Land fame, the man that won the Best Director Oscar last year for that reviving the musical. He brought it back.
Save jazz.
No, that was Gosling, okay, who plays Neil Armstrong in this movie. Written by Nicole Perlman, who's one of the women from Guardians of the Galaxy. Also written by Josh Singer, Spotlight and the Post fame. Ryan Gosling, as I said, is playing Neil Armstrong. Claire Foy of Unsane fame. We talked about her last episode. Maybe she'll
Unsane
be a household name.
Fame.
Well, not yet, but hopefully. I've got high hopes for that. John Bernthal.
Also the Emmy Award-winning Queen actor there, Mike.
John Bernthal also has a supporting role, as well as Kyle Chandler, or of course Coach Gregson Gibson from Friday Night Lights fame. What's it? Yeah. I can't remember his character's name.
Yep. John Bernthal, The Walking Dead, Wind River. He's been in like 15 movies in the last 2 years.
Another very hateable guy. And Jason Clark, the hateable guy.
The beady-eyed one. And he does have beady eyes.
I can't wait until we have him as a guest on this episode, and it's just him berating us for like an hour and a half.
We said he's got to be an awesome guy watching his interviews.
Which is, he plays a dick so well. I think that's part of it.
Well, he's got to be the thorn in Ryan Gosling's side in this movie, correct? And basically, Ryan Gosling versus Bernthal, Jason Clark, with Kyle Chandler as the mentor. This all is starting to make sense.
Or Jason Clark plays the son as they go to the moon, and he's like the son.
He's just the son. Oh, the S-U-N.
Yes, correct.
S-U-N. Yes. Oh, my God.
Planet or not, when that thing burns out, we're all going to die.
That's so stupid. Wow, we started this one off with some rippers, some knee slappers thus far. And I don't think they're taking the conspiracy theorist angle on this one. I think they're actually going to, you know, have these guys go to the moon and stuff.
Yeah, it's getting – it's. You look at the popularity number on IMDb, it's up to 430th place, which is making a jump 166. It's getting a lot of early buzz, was the word that you coined and I couldn't come up with. It's supposed to be released in October, which is right at the beginning of that sweet spot for the Oscar film, so they obviously have kind of an idea of what they think this is going to be. I think this is positioning Ryan Gosling certainly for an elusive Oscar land, an Oscar win. He's kind of one of the highest names since Leo left the list.
Yeah,
to be without the Golden Statue and
doesn't have it yet.
Get one.
Whose
so.
Year can it be next year?
You never know. October 12th is when it's scheduled to come out, and it's a DreamWorks production, which is that makes sense. They're usually. Do a decent job with dramas.
Honestly, after Whiplash and La La Land, I am bought into Damien Chazelle's ability. I'm a little sad and slightly worried. You know, he didn't write this movie. However, I'm a big fan of Nicole Perlman's work with Guardians of the Galaxy. That was one of my favorite movies of the last 5-10 years.
That's going to be my counter to you. It seems to be in very capable hands, even though it's not Chazelle's writing.
But to somehow give myself another counterpoint...
Mm-hmm. I like when you argue with yourself.
I argue with myself on a two-man podcast.
I'm just over here furiously thinking about horses.
Josh Singer, who perhaps ruined The Post last year. Maybe Spielberg is to blame, in my opinion. But Josh Singer was the hired gun, the spotlight writer, who you can just see the scaffolding on that script where he came in and switched it up.
The cinemacation.
On the former screenwriter and made it very Spielbergian and very formulaic, I guess you could say.
We go into great detail about that in our Oscar Sprint profile of The Post. Yeah. We talk about how he was kind of, it definitely seemed the layout was there for him to have been the hired gun that was brought in and make this screenplay more movie-ish in a way.
So I guess we could say cautiously optimistic about this movie.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. Gosling is one of my favorites. I'm hoping to fall in love with Claire Foy. I'm not too familiar with her, but I got high hopes for Unsane. We talked about Unsane coming out later this month on our last podcast. Last podcast was a bit of a preview review episode for everything up through April that has come out and will be coming out in theaters. Gosling's one of the top names without an Oscar so far. He's certainly got the talent. This cast is not loaded, but it's pretty good. Bernthal and Chandler are certainly known for holding their weight. Jason Clarke, we say he's notorious for being a good bad guy or a guy you love to hate. So Chazelle's involved. It's got decent screenwriters. I wasn't as down on The Post as you are. So yeah, I might be a little more excited, but certainly interested to see what happens.
Claire Foy, Ryan Gosling, Damien Chazelle, Nicole Perlman. I'm in. Okay, the next movie, the next contender, and these are in really no particular order. The next movie is If Beale Street Could Talk. It's about a woman in Harlem desperately scrambling to prove her fiancé innocent of a crime while carrying their first child.
Hollywood keeps making the same movies over and over.
Right. If Beale Street Could Talk is written and directed by Moonlight auteur Barry Jenkins. It stars Regina King. She is from American Crime and The Leftovers.
Oh,
very
boy.
Recognizable. She
heavy titles to her resume, huh?
Sure. I mean, it's more TV than films, but she's been in films as well. The movie also stars Dave Franco, Pedro Pascal, who is Oberyn Martell in Game of Thrones, and Diego Luna from Itumamba Tambien, as I say it, botch that. I'm excited because I'll see anything Barry Jenkins does at this point. You know, he convinced me of that after Moonlight. The cast is super intriguing. Kind of a strange mix, like Dave Franco and Regina King. Okay. Dave Franco and Pedro Pascal. Okay. I wouldn't have thought of that combination ever. It's fun to see all these leftovers. I don't want to say leftover actors, but leftovers from the series.
From
leftovers.
The HBO show.
It's fun to see
these
all those
second-rate hacks here. No, of course not.
It's fun to see this island of misfit toys finally get a movie together. No, I enjoyed the series on HBO, The Leftovers, and it's fun to see all these actors getting major roles after that this year. It's a common theme. So Lindelof, you know, I mean, he maybe not, you know, maybe he can't explain the meaning of life in a two series.
I'm willing to say definitively he cannot.
No. He can't get that done in Lost or in The Leftovers, but He makes a good TV show, and he makes a showcase for his actors.
I wonder how, again, just to give you some specs about this, due to release December 5th. Anything in December at this point kind of worries me, because yes, obviously, If Beale Street Could Talk is a big one, Barry Jenkins, a lot of hype, but sometimes they have a tendency to be pushed back in case the studio finds something wrong with it, and that's how you end up sometimes with these movies that are supposed to be blockbuster movies coming out in February and March, like the ones we just kind of, some of the not-so-anymore blockbustery ones that we reviewed in our last last episode. But again, like you said, you made a lot of the good points. It's Barry Jenkins. His stock couldn't be higher right now. It's Annapurna Pictures. They seem to be on a bit of a hot streak themselves. Dave Franco, in kind of his first giant undertaking since the fallout from his brother and the allegations against James Franco. We don't know what's going to happen with his career, but Dave Franco has certainly, at least to me, kind of come into his own. He's capable enough as an actor on his own, certainly in comedy. I haven't seen him in too much dramatic stuff.
Yeah, but he could play the straight man in a comedy. I don't know what he's playing in this. I'm curious. But Barry Jenkins, I'm happy to see he's not kind of getting too precious about things. He's coming back with a movie 2 years later. I mean, that's like, that feels good to me. It feels right.
Yeah, I think do the 1 year, have your breakout, do the award circuit, have a breather, get back in the studio. Sure.
Regina King is also the doctor of the Newtown, not Newtown, Connecticut, the Newtown in The Leftovers.
A lot of double speak in this this description.
I'm not a good at improvisation, Michael. I failed Improv 101.
We'll move on to the favorite.
Yes, or? That's terrible today.
The favorite, the IMDb one sentence description. A body acerbic, which is not a word I am familiar with. A body acerbic tale of royal intrigue, passion, envy, and betrayal in the court of Queen Anne in early 18th century England. So, of course, this is starring Emma Stone, because when you think 18th century English actress. Directed by Yorgos Lanthimos of Dogtooth, The Lobster, and Killing of the Sacred Deer. So you think this will have a straight and narrow narrative?
Deborah Davis's first IMDb credit as a screenwriter. This looks as bizarre as every Yorgos Lanthimos movie so far.
Yeah, he's not going to stray from his path, I don't think.
Right. Rachel Weisz, Nicholas Hoult, I think they've portrayed British actors before. I've never seen Emma Stone do it.
It worries me for sure. It's kind of like saying, hey, Jennifer Lawrence is going to be in this Russian spy thriller. Check it out. But that worked.
Okay. Yeah, it sort of worked.
So it could. I mean, she's certainly talented enough.
I've seen Emma Stone do it like as a gag in a movie, like do a British accent.
Has Emma Stone played a character before? Has she ever played someone that's not like...
You are biased against her. But, you don't like redheads? Is that what, I'm trying to get... You don't like gingers.
Listen.
I'm trying to get to the bottom of it.
I'm serious.
You hold grudges against your actresses.
La La Land. I don't... All
the entire horse genre is something you are firmly against after War Horse. And I get it. I get that one. I'll give you that one. But Emma Stone is a wonder.
She's a phenomenal talent. I'm not trying to say she's not, but all her characters that she's known for, at least to me, are kind of like Emma Stone adjacent characters. It doesn't.
Well, she was a character in the movie that we didn't like, Battle of the Sexes, for sure. That's a character.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Movie overall was pretty forgettable. That's why it slipped my mind.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't like that movie either. Yeah. I wish I had a better movie to make my point.
No, it's a fair point. It's a good point. I just totally slipped my mind. You're absolutely right, and I'm an idiot, and I'm sorry, Emma Stone, and don't hate me.
No, she does got that girl next door thing going all the way back from Easy A to Zombieland.
And those are the roles that come to mind when I think of Emma Stone, too. And La La Land, big one, and it was kind of in that arc. It was that same type of character.
You're not wrong. I mean, there's a familiarity with her acting style. She makes you feel that way. So, but here's the thing with The Favorite, which, by the way, is misspelled or spelled the British way.
It's the British way, yeah. Okay. All those unnecessary U's.
V-O-U.
Or necessary, since it's their language, I guess.
Right. V-O-U-R-I-T-E, which just kind of makes me angry in a way. However, I'm getting to the point with Lanthimos that, you know, Mike, fool me four times. I don't know what
you guys keep ragging on me 15 or 16 more times. I swear to God, I'm out of here.
It just went into my head, too. That's a great quote.
Element Pictures is responsible for the distribution. They did The Room, The Lobster, Frank. They're an Irish-based distribution company. If this is anything like The Room, it's going to be depressing.
The Room?
Oh, not The Room. I'm sorry. Yes, Room. Brie Larson's Room.
Oh.
The movie Room, not Wiseau.
This seems like a courtroom drama with an actress who's only ever done an American accent before. I guess she could become, having come from America. She could be the fish out of water. Emma Stone in the 18th century English court by Yorgos Lanthimos. Oh my God, that body horror. Oh, I don't know. It's like it's incomprehensible to me. But every one of his movies have been engaging.
Do you think that court means actual courthouse, or do you think it means like in the courting of Queen?
In the court of Queen Anne. Early 18th century England.
Yeah, but do you think that could mean the Queen Anne is
starring Emma Stone
is courting this?
No, I don't think they're playing grammar games with us. Though if somebody would, it would be Yorgos Lanthimos. Oh my God! All his just go if you haven't seen his movies yet. I wish I could watch people watch his movies. That's all I care about. I don't care about watching the movies again, even though they're crazy, but I want to watch people watch them. Lanthimos does have a reunion with Rachel Weisz, who's in like every movie this year, by the way, coming up.
She's about due for a big breakout, though. She's getting there. No release date listed for The Favorite, so just says 2018 online.
Yeah, a lot of these are still, they're hiding their cards still.
So keeping in mind that we're talking about Oscar probable or at least Oscar thoughtful pictures, what's the next one?
The next one is The Isle of Dogs.
There it is.
Set in Japan, Isle of Dogs follows a boy's odyssey in search of his dog. Simple premise, written and directed by Wes Anderson. It is a stop motion animated film with almost all the great actors that we have voicing characters, from Bryan Cranston to Yoko Ono, Ed Norton, Liev Schreiber, Greta Gerwig, Bill Murray, Jeff Goldblum, Scarlett Johansson, Courtney B. Vance, Tilda Swinton, Frances McDormand, Ken Watanabe, Harvey Keitel, and Angelica Houston, still to only name a few.
Good God.
So we talked about this one last episode.
Yeah, we went into this one. This was kind of a big part of our last episode. We both have very high hopes for this. I don't think our hopes could be higher, and it's getting rave reviews. This is one of the ones that's coming out soon. It's out, I think, next week. 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, 8.4 on IMDb. It's high. It's up there in a lot of people's minds. Kind of a shoo-in already. I was reading someone yesterday that said it's expected to win Best Animated Feature,
really?
If not contend for Original Screenplay and Picture.
Here's something I wonder, and I guess we got to go back and research this. Has there ever been a bad stop-motion animation movie, like in general?
Depends how you feel about the Christmas ones, I mean.
Well, but here's the thing. The meticulous nature of that. If you don't have a good story to tell, you're not going to move little clay, whatever.
Fuck it!
around for, you know, 5 years. Yeah. You're not going to do that.
Like on the fourth year and eighth month, the director comes, we got to scrap the project.
maybe they're delusional.
Hollywood director but found slain murder today.
There's going to be passion that goes into that.
You would think that's a very good point, and it's not a job for anyone with my mindset of being able to take things slow. I cannot possibly imagine having your life moving one little figurine inch by inch until a 90-minute, two-hour picture. God bless those people. They are saints.
How many pictures do they literally take? I mean, how many movements does that literally take? I want to see numbers. I'm a numbers guy. I want to see numbers.
Unbelievable. So. But more importantly, to the movie itself, again, we're very excited for it. I think I'm going to say now, I'm going to be surprised if it doesn't make some headway and be one of those rare early season pictures that finds momentum or maybe refinds momentum at the end. It's produced by Wes Anderson, screenplay by Wes. This is a Wes Anderson film through and through. We'll see.
The next movie, Mike, comes out June 8th, I want to say.
Yeah, Hereditary. It's a big one. It's an important one in my life.
It looks great.
This one debuted at Sundance over in January. Got a lot of big publicity, a lot of big momentum. The IMDb synopsis. When Ellen, the matriarch of the Graham family, passes away, her daughter's family begins to unravel cryptic and increasingly terrifying secrets about their ancestry. So there's more to it. We'll put the pause on it there. It's written and directed by Ari Aster. It's his first feature. It stars Toni Collette, Gabriel Byrne, Alex Wolff. The trailer is very scary. I think what makes it different, though, is the word of the day might be buzz, but the buzz of the attached to this one, it makes it every year almost now we're getting a horror movie that's it's unlike any horror movie you've ever seen. And that's another subject we kind of touched on last episode. Get Out and Blumhouse specifically probably responsible for a good portion of that. But people seem to be taking the horror genre and figuring it and refiguring it and trying to put it in different ways. And I don't think that's a bad thing. And especially if this one is a groundbreaker,
sure.
I'm excited. I'm pumped.
I think Toni Collette is one of those underrated actors
for
a long time. The United States of Terror was a showcase, of course. The Sixth Sense, going all the way back to Muriel's Wedding. She's fantastic. And the fact that she's coming out in a possible Oscar contender could be momentum for her.
It's A24 as well. That's who does the production on it. So they're on a hot streak of all hot streaks.
Now, again, I'm a little torn, slightly torn on my expectations because it's from the producers of The Witch. Slow and infuriating. It was just infuriating to me. However, it's undeniably of quality. And
it was another one of those, a different take on a horror movie.
Yes.
It wasn't your peanut butter and jelly horror movie.
It's like I felt about Silence the last year, Martin Scorsese's religious movie. I just don't like movies about religion, I think. That's just me. I think it touches too many nerves from my childhood or whatever. Learning something about me here.
Maybe not the best euphemism to use when talking about religion, that it touches you, but all right.
But no. that's their euphemism for the whole... Anyway, begrudgingly, The Witch pays off. And I would begrudgingly admit that. So this first time, director nabbed an incredible cast to work with. So he's getting right out of the... I mean, he's just done short films before this one. So he could be a rising star.
Yeah, I wonder, though, how much of this is standing on its own. And don't get me wrong, it is standing on its own. It's 23 critic reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, average rating of 8.9 out of 10, which is amazingly high. 100% Rotten Tomato score right now. It's not certified fresh or anything. It's not enough people have seen it. 99% want to see it. I wonder how much of the buzz is driven by it being its own film and being that unique. I wonder how much of it is that horror is now become accepted as a wide genre because on the heels of Get Out, you know, all the way back to Cabin in the Woods, the success it had last year. Mm. It, the movie, not it, the Cabin in the Woods movie. But I wonder if people are just salivating for new horror, and that's kind of driving the bus here a little bit.
Definitely possible. Definitely possible. I would say the June release date supports your theory on that.
June 8th, yeah, scheduled to come out.
I think that's a prime time release date. I don't know if it's going to have Oscar legs.
Yeah, I can't imagine. When was the last time we had horror movies in back-to-back years representing as nominations for Best Picture and Best Original Screenplay?
We get a horror movie once every like 20 years,
right? So it's I'm hopeful. I'm like you. I don't know that this one necessarily is going to live up to the hype, but I don't know that anything could at this point.
One every 10 years, maybe. You know, Sixth Sense, the decade before that. I guess you'd say it was Silence of the Lambs in the 80s. Well, this is a good. This is a good little conundrum.
Had anything.
70s was Exorcist.
Exorcist, yeah. But and, even that, I mean, it didn't win.
Yeah. So 80s, I'm sure there was something. Ghost doesn't count. That was early 90s.
No, it does not.
I get the late 80s and the early 90s mixed together. Here's what last thing I want to say. Ari Aster must have had a phenomenal script and a great reel to nab this job. So this script looks wholly unique.
Point.
On the trailers, correct? I mean, that little dollhouse thing, that motif is ridiculously wild looking. I don't know what kind of movie it's going to be. Rosemary's Baby was the name I was searching for, 60s horror movie.
Polanski, yeah, sure.
Polanski. So it feels a little like Rosemary's Baby. I don't know if it's just going to be a straight up jump scare type of horror movie.
I don't think it would be, because if it was, that kind of goes back into the whole what horror has been for the last decade or so prior to 2016.
That's not what The Witch was either.
Right. So I don't think that would get a lot of, I'm sorry if you hear my dog again in the background, but I don't think that type of horror movie would get a lot of buzz, Oscar buzz.
Yeah, we'll see. The next movie is Mary, Queen of Scots. This is a major player by all accounts. It is about Mary Stuart's attempts to overthrow her cousin, Elizabeth I, Queen of England. Mary Stuart finds herself condemned to years of imprisonment before facing execution. It is directed by Josie Rourke, screenplay by House of Cards creator, writer-director Bo Willimon, starring, get this.
Yeah, give it to me.
Saoirse Ronan as Mary Stuart.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie as Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Gemma Chan, David Tennant, Guy Pearce, and Jack Lowden.
Can we get the Spice Girls in there, too, to reunite? Have just be all girl power?
So I trust Bo Willimon at this point after his run with House of Cards. I'm hopeful that Saoirse Ronan and Margot Robbie don't have an Oscar hangover. I think it's kind of like the NFL where they make the Pro Bowl a year later than they should have in many cases with these Oscars. So, like, they were great in the last few years, so people will say, okay, now next year should be your year.
I did notice in the awards, all the award shows we covered, Saoirse Ronan and Margot Robbie were awfully chummy with each other. Very buddy-buddy, very, you know, connected at the hip type stuff.
Yeah, from this movie, for sure.
I didn't realize this movie was coming out then, so I thought, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, they're going to work together at some point in the future. I didn't realize they already had or already were filming. I'm excited. I'm needless to say, right? Saoirse Ronan, I saw her next two projects that are coming out prior to this one.
Yeah.
They're both very, like, why is she doing this? She
on Chesil Beach.
To, yeah, good God, The Seagull.
The Seagull.
Yeah, you don't have to do this, Saoirse. Like, you're past this point. They're very 90s, romantic. Yeah,
they're very weird. Small.
Weird choices. Films. I wouldn't have expected it, but who knows? But this one, it's a period piece. It's set in the 1500s, 1580s or whatever, but it's a grudge. I mean, this is a girl versus girl, whether it's a chess match or an all-out physicality type thing. I'm very excited to see it, and these two showed their chops this past year. Whether or not they get Oscar recognition for this, we'll see, but they certainly, if nothing else, they've shown they have it in them to make this an epic on-screen confrontation.
For sure. It feels like a Les Miserables, Count of Monte Cristo level grudge. And in that era, I guess, maybe I got my history screwed up by a couple hundred years, I'm guessing, thinking about it now. But I think the one point I want to make is, will we, during our award season, say that, well, this is good Saoirse Ronan, but this is not Lady Bird level Saoirse Ronan.
Or this is not Margot Robbie. Yeah,
I mean, this is not I, Tonya levels. You should have won it last year, the same way we did it with Leo during the Revenant thing.
Yeah, what do these people think they're doing by being so talented? You know, how dare they?
No, you're
so
right. It's consistently great.
It's certainly a possibility. You imagine Universal was one of the biggest marketers this year for the properties they had at Oscar time. I hate to keep harping on Get Out, but they were the ones that repositioned Get Out in theaters on President's Day, offered it for free. So they know how to market to the Academy towards Oscar Pictures. This one's scheduled to release in November. November 2nd is its release date.
Oh, yeah, it's right in the wheelhouse there.
You could be totally right. We won't know. I'm interested to see the trailers and whatnot as they come out. We just got the first screenshots of, you know, they had that famous shot that everyone's seen by now of a red-haired Saoirse Ronan in that flowing blue gown standing there glaring at the camera in I don't know what kind of room she was in, but it got me, color me intrigued. I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful. One of these women should win a Best Actress soon.
We know that Saoirse Ronan can do an accent, so that's well, one thing for sure.
Or to her, it's called talking. So Margot Robbie, too, I guess, right? Because she's Australian, so.
Very true. All right, what's next, Mike?
I'm hoping this is starting a trend because we said 2017 we were awfully spoiled with movies, and there's a lot of movies coming out in 2018 that sound very, very, at worst, interesting.
This sounds interesting, yes.
Backseat, the story of Dick Cheney, the most powerful vice president in history. There's an understatement. And how his policies changed the world as we know it. Another understatement. Written and directed by Adam McKay, he of Anchorman fame, writer, director, producer from everything Will Ferrell's ever done.
Right.
Christian Bale is playing Dick Cheney. He's uglying himself up as he's done a couple times before in a couple roles. I'm sure he'll hear his name come Oscar time. Amy Adams is Lynn Cheney. She's searching for her Oscar, too. She's a beloved member of the Academy. Sam Rockwell just won his Oscar. He's playing George W. Bush.
My God.
Highest of hopes for him. I think he's going to be great in that role. Steve Carell, Alison Pill, Tyler Perry, Bill Pullman also in this movie. What do you think?
I could not be more intrigued by a premise slash little snapshot.
Totally agree.
You know, I mean, it's a political drama, so it's right in my wheelhouse for movies that I want to see
could
in the fall.
Could be a horror movie, depending on who you ask.
Fat Christian Bale is,
Maybe the best Christian Bale?
It might be.
We saw it in American Hustle.
He might be the happiest one.
We saw.
Maybe doesn't yell at as many key grips.
Jacked Christian Bale. Everyone needs to be fearful of, but yeah.
Tyler Perry plays Colin Powell. But yeah, got to see this. I don't care if it gets like 40% on a tomato meter.
Steve Carell playing Donald Rumsfeld, by the way.
Oh.
So he's going, putting the makeup on himself again, like in the Foxcatcher days.
Listen, Brad Pitt just did a movie, War Machine, on Netflix. It was a Netflix original movie. So this can potentially descend into that level of farce and essentially spoof itself and just be a total tonal mess like that one. But
yeah, I'm with you. Adam McKay, though, has shown he's got chops for walking that fine line before that not a lot of people could do. The Big Short was highly comedic, but it was like number three the year it came out for Best Picture when sure. all was said and done. So, yes, he does the Anchorman shtick, and it's totally bonkers off-the-wall comedy. I don't think that would play well with this source material, especially in this political day and age. I think people kind of want a sort of serious look at what's going on in the Oval Office as much as they can through film.
Perhaps.
Maybe not.
However, this was the year of genre benders, 2017, this past year, and 2018 might follow suit. Maybe it's representing the type of tastes people have now.
I'll say this. If he can pull off an Oscar-worthy movie that is more comedy than it is serious, if it is a bonkers comedy and it's going to get considered for Best Picture, then he wins Best Director. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a win for him.
That's what I want to see, a slapstick comedy about doomed modern society. I kind of want to see that. I'll do this next one quick. It is Black Panther. It's written, directed by Ryan Coogler, starring Chadwick Boseman, Lupita Nyong'o, Michael B. Jordan, Danai Gurira, Martin Freeman, Letitia Wright, Daniel Kaluuya, Winston Duke, Sterling K. Brown, Andy Serkis, and Angela Bassett, plus Forest Whitaker. Look, you know it. You loved it. We reviewed it. Check out those two episodes, that two-part review.
That's going to be nominated for Best Picture. So, probably
yeah, we think
to say
so.
About that.
We think so.
We Marvel... Every critic, the world. I think we contacted life at some point somewhere out there, Mars maybe.
It got a 3-point higher grade than the Best Picture winner for me this year. So, yeah, I have no qualms.
Been out, and you made this point on last pod too, been out 4 weeks now, 3 weeks, and $1 billion. No qualms, no
1.1 now.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It might be, I don't know if $1 billion property's ever, well, Titanic did, but... One of the few billion-dollar properties is going to get a Best Picture nom, so maybe it'll win. Who knows? We'll see. The Woman of Marwen is up next. The logline for that goes, a victim of a brutal attack finds a unique and beautiful therapeutic outlet to help him through his recovery process. This is starting to smell like the Steve Carell for an Oscar year.
So, he's got two on the board.
Yeah, co-written and directed by Robert Zemeckis, Back to the Future, Forrest Gump. Somebody who hasn't been around in big Oscar pictures lately. This is kind of posing himself as a comeback
sure.
picture for him here. Screenplay by Carolyn Thompson, who's written a bunch of Tim Burton movies, including Edward Scissorhands and The Nightmare Before Christmas. Not Elm Street, as
Not
I said
Elm
in a previous take. So we're doing Jack. What's his name? Jack what? In that movie?
Jack's... Not Sparrow.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Wow. You've come to the right place,
Jack.
Jack
O'Lantern? I've seen it once. I don't know what that is.
O'Lantern. Jack. How you doing?
Jack Skellington?
Jack Skellington.
Is that for real?
I know a lot of people that are going to be very pissed off at me that I didn't know his name off the top of my head.
No, I wasn't going to find it with all my, wait, let me think. No, okay, keep going.
So, yes, Nightmare Before Christmas. Co-writer also on this The Woman of Marwen script stars Aiza Gonzalez, who made a big name in Baby Driver and also Our Hearts after we see her on the Oscars this past year. My God, is she a gorgeous woman. Steve Carell, as I said, Diane Kruger, Janelle Monáe, who is getting in a lot of big pictures herself,
sure,
really, making
sure.
a hell of a film career for herself. Leslie Mann, Gwendolyn Christie, and Merritt Weaver also star.
And Steve Carell's going to win the Oscar for this. Yeah, it's a little strange that this movie is shaped this way because these are like all these women whose careers are skyrocketing. You mentioned Aiza Gonzalez. Yes, make her a movie star. I'll take that, no question. From Baby Driver, Diane Kruger was great in Inglourious Bastards. Janelle Monáe was great in Hidden Figures. Leslie Mann, great in Knocked Up and This Is 40. Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones. Merritt Weaver from Michael Clayton. Just like naming all my favorite movies of the past 10 years. So this cast is jam-packed with great actresses. And
it is interesting that Carell is kind of the one that's getting his name out there thus far for this. I would say he might be the biggest star. I don't know. Diane Kruger is huge. Leslie Mann is huge. You know, Monáe, obviously, cross-platform. But you look at this cast, like, and you just hit on this point. It's loaded with females and powerful women and powerful roles
right.
that are well-established already. So,
who's the victim of the brutal attack? Is it,
well, it says he.
Carell?
It says he in the log line.
Well, it says a victim, so I don't.
A victim of a brutal attack finds a unique and beautiful therapeutic outlet to help him through his recovery process. So.
Grammar detectives.
I passed English once. I don't know. Zemeckis, like we said, his history of treating female characters in film is not great.
I don't know. Hey, well, Jenna.
Back to the Future's mother.
I don't know. I can't think of enough. Angelina Jolie. The harpy from Beowulf.
Yeah, I don't know that he was responsible for that. That might have been Homer's doing.
That might have been a classical screenwriter, yes. All right, moving on.
Yeah, I honestly have nothing on this one.
This one doesn't strike me as that as interesting as some others, I would just say. Well, the next one is more vegetables for us. It's called Beautiful Boy, chronicles meth addiction and recovery through the eyes of a father who watches his son as he struggles with the disease. Directed by Felix von Groningen, director of The Misfortunates, The Broken Circle, Breakdown, Belgica.
And who's starring in this one, Mike?
It's written by Luke. I can only read up to down. Written by Luke Davies, based on the memoirs of the father and son in the film. David and Nick Shelf are their names. And it's starring Steve Carell and Timothy Chalamet as this father and son, the chefs. Also stars Amy Ryan, Maura Tierney, and Timothy Hutton.
This is the Steve Carell Oscar year.
It's sure looking
like
it.
Two leads on this list, one maybe supporting. Yeah.
The only question is, do they get torn and not vote for him either way? Because this was the better performance. That was better.
Well,
does that
hurt
him?
The cannibalization, one. And two, is it Leo and J. Edgar? Is this, all right, we know, you want an Oscar. We get it. Pump the brakes a little. And it could be an overexposure problem with him this year, too. Timothy Chalamet's in this. He's going to play an important role. I'm excited about him. Felix von Groningen, I don't know a whole lot about. This one's scheduled to release October 12th. Rising in popularity. If you go by the popularity chart on IMDb, it's jumped 1,200 spots in the last week or so.
Okay. Well, let's be honest, though. Yay, movie about meth addiction. It's going to be a brutal watch.
This is going to be terrible.
I don't think anybody's excited about it. But
can Steve Carell pull off emotional? Yeah. Well, he's done it a couple times.
Right. It's a take our medicine kind of movie.
It's going to be fascinating to see how Carell goes between emotions in each of these pictures as he recovers from an assault in the one picture we just talked about. He's a father that's a well-to-do father that's watching his kid basically kill himself in this one. He's got a chance here to really cement himself as an A-list carrying movies guy, a big creme de la creme across multiple genres.
Is it his year?
We'll see.
Hey, Mike, what's next?
Timothy Chalamet is going to win. We go to Boy Erased, and if you weren't sick of Timothy Chalamet, let me tell you about my friend Lucas Hedges. The son of a Baptist preacher is forced to participate in a church-supported gay conversion program. Hi. This is so of the moment.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
topical.
Yeah. Another rough one, though.
Written and directed by Joel Edgerton, the well-known actor from Red Sparrow. He directed The Gift a couple years ago. Was his first directorial debut.
That great actor,
Jason
yeah.
Bateman. I like The Gift, too. I was a big fan of that.
Agreed.
Rebecca Hall, again, just playing that stone face. Crazy performance. Lucas Hedges from Manchester by the Sea, as well as Lady Bird and Three Billboards. He's starring the main character alongside Nicole Kidman. Joel Edgerton plays a role himself, as well as Russell Crowe playing a supporting character. Loaded cast.
I think Russell Crowe's a preacher in this one, I think. As an actor, Joel Edgerton can elevate a lot of different movies, like we saw bright through full makeup. You know, he's an orc in bright. And he does. He elevates that subject matter. He does a nice job. I thought he did a nice job in Red Sparrow. I mean, those are only two recent examples.
This one gets the stronger adjacent release date. That stronger was in 2017, the end of September. This one's going to come out in that September range, kind of kick off Oscar season. September 28th is when it's slated for.
If I'm going to have to watch a movie with this kind of heartbreaking level of subject matter, I guess I'm glad it's in these hands.
And I'll say this, there's a lot of opportunity here for, we base this list off not only ourselves looking through the year, but also other, you talked about Variety, other mediums that had their kind of looking forward lists, Clayton Davis and whatnot. And a lot of these movies, they have the same titles. They all agree that these are kind of the standard bearers so far until they come out, but they're also so heavy. This might be time for a comedy. If that Adam McKay picture with Dick Cheney is funnier than others or lighter than others with such heavy subject material that the Boy Erased has, maybe. Beautiful Boy has, maybe it's the comedies that slip in and have their year like a Horror did last year. I don't know. It's just a theory. Who knows if it'll come to fruition? A
lot of award magnets, though, like Nicole Kidman. I mean, who would Academy be favorite, surprised?
Yeah.
Who would
Lucas
be
surprised? Hedges, even. He's established himself already.
Yeah, Manchester by the Sea, Lady Bird, 3 billboards for his last few movies. I mean, he's a magnet at this point.
Production company Anonymous Content. Joel Edgerton listed as a producer as well. So this is kind of his, one of his brainchilds. Director, screenplay, Edgerton. Producer, Edgerton. Production company Anonymous Content. Not something I'm familiar with, so... We'll see.
Again, written and directed by him, so yeah, makes sense. Next movie is Can You Ever Forgive Me? When best-selling celebrity biographer Lee Israel, who, get this, is played by Melissa McCarthy. That's correct. celebrity biographer Lee Israel is no longer able to get published because she has fallen out of step with current tastes. She turns her art form to deception, abetted by her loyal friend Jack. So I guess she goes and becomes a sensationalist writer, I guess, as a celebrity biographer.
I'm anyway, literally stroking my beard right now.
Directed by Marielle Heller, who's also helmed The Diary of a Teenage Girl and episodes of Transparent and Casual. It's written by Nicole Holofcener, an accomplished writer, director in her own right. A lot of HBO things from the Gandolfini movie, Enough Said. Julia Louis-Dreyfus was also in that one. That's a decent movie.
Sex that was cute, the, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she wrote a lot of Sex in the City. She wrote a lot of, she wrote and directed some 6 Feet Under, Parks and Recreation, Orange is the New Black. Those are all on Hall of Center's resume there. Again, Melissa McCarthy in the lead, being put up there for Oscar recognition. The movie also stars Anna Deavere Smith and Alice Kremmelberg. So it's some unknowns, relative unknowns. Look, I know the writers work a little more than the directors, as I mentioned. I'm curious to see if Melissa McCarthy is going to, again, play more of a comedy, like we said with Steve Carell, all the same questions. Is this more of a comedy? Because it's kind of, or just, you know, is this the story of a serious biographer going to salaciousness and ruining journalism? I don't know.
It's, again, it's that opportunity. Melissa McCarthy, she's done well in the last couple of years to establish herself as that A-list top of the line thing. She has the same opportunity Carell does. You're absolutely right. My eye is going to be on Nicole Holofcener. My apologies if I mispronounced the name, but
yeah.
Anyone that's
I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it either.
I do apologize.
Jerks.
Anyone that comes from that lineage, and everyone agrees we're in this golden age of television and have been for the past, I don't know, 6-7 years or so. What have been some of the hits? Sex and the City was a huge hit. 6 Feet Under, a huge hit. Parks and Rec was a cult classic, if not a mainstream classic. Orange is the New Black has been on.
Versatile, too, yeah.
And if you get someone coming right from that world that obviously can have their hand in all these different pots that connects with these audiences, I don't see any reason why this wouldn't tug at your heartstrings, play the right chords, and be a screenwriting hit, if nothing else. Yeah. So I could definitely see, if Melissa McCarthy doesn't go all the way with a Best Actress nomination here, if we're talking about Oscar framing, I could definitely see this one getting an original screenplay nod, if nothing else.
It feels like it, doesn't it? Yeah, I would agree. That's interesting. All right, the next one is perhaps my, in terms, like, I don't want to misspell favorite when I say favorite. And I don't want to say it's my favorite of these potential movies, but I think it has the most Oscar weight behind it. Go ahead, Mike.
Chance of the Country of England? We're talking about Widows, set in contemporary Chicago amidst a time of turmoil. Four women with nothing in common except a debt left behind by their dead husband's criminal activities take fate into their own hands and conspire to form a future on their own terms. This is the long-awaited sequel to 12 Years a Slave, at least in terms of who's making behind the scenes here. Steve McQueen, the director, back in the director's chair. This one is getting a ton of early buzz.
Yes.
A screenplay written by the brilliant novelist Gillian Flynn, who did Gone Girl, Dark Places, Sharp Objects. You're a big fan of hers.
Big fan of her books and her scripts, for that matter. She wrote Gone Girl.
Which, again, I can never trust Rosamund Pike, and I hope she can forgive me someday.
Yeah, I mean, David Fincher, of all control freaks, hired
bequeathed
her
power. Yeah, that's a very good Gone point. Girl. That that's is a really incredible. Interesting point. Yep. Not one I thought of before. Starring Viola Davis, Oscar. Elizabeth Debicki, Daniel Kaluuya, Oscar. Liam Neeson, could be Oscar. Colin Farrell, he's toyed around with the Golden Statue every once in a while. Michelle Rodriguez, Carrie Coon, John Bernthal. Why don't they just put Bernthal with Carell for this year, for Christ's sake? That's a Jackie Weaver loaded cast. Loaded. Jackie Weaver Dream was, what, cast. The eighth name on that list?
Right. It's absolutely loaded. We don't even know if there's a hidden gem actor, thespian in there. So you know you're getting the highest quality work here. Again, this was long gestating. I'm thrilled that Viola Davis is going to lead this cast.
With Kaluuya. I would love to see them be...
They're building this movie around her, it seems.
And oh, by the way, Robert Duvall's name is in this cast list as well.
Yeah, I missed him. Can't believe it.
Slide over, sir. That's all it was.
Why do you
he
hurt?
Needs to prove himself.
He's talking to me right now. Why do you hurt me, Michael? Why do you hurt me?
No, anytime you can leave off a neophyte that has so much to prove, like Duvall.
Garrett Dillahunt. Yeah, I'm still reading Lucas Haas. Yeah, some big names and great character actors involved.
Regency Enterprises, they've been responsible for it. They've had a nice portfolio of themselves in the last couple of years. It's based on Widows by Linda LaPlante, so it's a adapted screenplay. Call Me By Your Name, we're just off the heels of that, sweeping every adapted screenplay award there was possible. Look, this cast is beyond loaded. Steve McQueen is a hot name in directing world. He's already got a Best Picture to his name. This one is big. This is going to be a big one. It's scheduled to release in November, mid-November, which is right in that holiday kickoff where you get all these Oscar pictures.
Oscar heft. Yeah. Yes.
So this one, if there's ever a prototypical picture positioned to win Oscar
gold. It seems like the cast and crew knows it because there's some big names all around.
Let's get Daniel Kaluuya an Oscar. Forget Steve Carell. There'll be other years. Let's get this man gold.
I don't know. I don't know how big of a role he plays.
Steve Carell.
Here's the thing. Like, he wasn't known by the time. I mean, this looks like it's been in the works for 5 years. So was he as well known from Get Out by the time they were filming this?
I think Get Out and Black Mirror proof he doesn't have to be known to be...
Well, Black Mirror was a showcase for him, so right. maybe. So. All right, the next movie is called The Wife, and the log line goes...
We go from Widows to a wife. Now we're working backwards in life.
The Wife...
Life also rhymes with wife. Go ahead.
Very good. A wife questions her life choices as she travels to Stockholm with her husband, where he is slated to receive the Nobel Prize for Literature. Directed by Bjorn Runge, who's directed a lot of Swedish movies I don't recognize. And I have seen a bunch of Swedish movies, but then again, I haven't seen them all. Written by Mad Men, Olive Kitteridge screenwriter Jane Anderson, starring Glenn Close in the titular role.
Yes.
As well as Harry Lloyd, Christian Slater, Max Irons, and Jonathan Pryce as her older husband, Jonathan Pryce, from recently the Sparrow from Game of Thrones, all the way back to Brazil. He's been in a ton of good stuff. Listen, good writer, and the buzz for Glenn Close is kind of exciting after all this time. Rooting for her, though I'm not super enthused about this story premise.
No, but also Glenn Close could star in a story premise that's just like a smattering of Wingdings, and I'd see it and be intrigued, so... It's got true. High marks. It's I don't know where it's been seen, but it's been seen by some people. 87 people on IMDb, giving it a 7.9 thus far. Scheduled to release August 3rd. Not a long movie. Only an hour and 40 minutes as terms of Oscar pictures. That might be a little light, but that's not necessarily telling either. It's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes so far on only 8 critic reviews, 7.8 out of 10. So it's matching its IMDb total. Might be same people marking on this both sites, but... I'm excited.
Beard stroking.
Glenn Close doesn't do bad. She just doesn't.
okay, well, look at her filmography. We can see a lot of bad movies there.
Oh, how dare you? How dare you? Look at her filmography. I'm not going to sit here and have you trash okay, an American treasure.
No, it's a little tiff going on. Again, we got guys clicking on IMDb for your audible entertainment.
This one also done by Anonymous Content, by the way, the same company that's doing the Joel Edgerton film we just discussed.
So, Mike. Yes. She was starred in 2017, mm-hmm. Father Figures, Crooked House, mm-hmm. The Wild Wedding.
I'm only hearing Best Picture.
What Happened to Monday?
What Happened to Monday was a good movie. I'm taking the show over.
Warcraft, The Beginning. She's on credit. Hold on.
Best Picture nominee. Go on.
The Great Gilly Hopkins.
Best Picture nominee.
Anesthesia.
Best Actress win.
Low Down 5-7. I don't know. I'm going all the way back here. Not My Life. She's a narrator. AFI, I mean, Albert Nobbs was a kind of a stinky movie, but she's great in it.
Siskel and Ebert gave it 2 thumbs up.
Evening Hoodwinked. The Chum Scrubber, I remember not liking.
Changed Me as a Man.
She's done a lot of stink bombs. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. Glenn, if you want to come on Mike and Oscar, I will make sure this fool is nowhere near you. I will exile him.
She's got
him.
My microphone.
I'm willing to make this Mike, Glenn, and Oscar.
She's from Connecticut. It's possible.
You are a bad person.
All right, moving on. Where'd You Go, Bernadette? That's not a question to you. That's a movie title.
Yes, Where'd You Go, Bernadette? After her anxiety-ridden mother disappears, 15-year-old B does everything she can to track her down, discovering her troubled past in the process. This is written and directed by Richard Linklater, so this is going to give us all the answers and leave us with no questions. Linklater, responsible, of course, for Boyhood, Before Sunset, Everybody Wants Some, Last Flag Flying, Bernie, Walking Life, Dazed and Confused, Slacker, who was also involved with Lost. Hmm. He's a very interesting man. Starring Cate Blanchett, Kristen Wiig, Judy Greer, Billy Crudup, Lawrence Fishburne. What do we got? Where'd You Go, Bernadette?
I'm a big Richard Linklater fan. I guess half of his movies I really like and half of them I kind of hate. Because I hate Boyhood. I'm sorry. I hate it. I love his Hawk Duplique. Hate. Like, literally squirming on the couch, really angry at the...
You gotta at least have respect for how it was done.
I think I would have enjoyed the documentary on how it was done more than I enjoyed... It seemed like a thrown-together story. I'm a big plot, heavy plot. I like heavy plot. I like good stories. And this was just like it was obviously episodic. And it was just... I'm squirming on the couch. I'm so bored with that movie.
Interesting. All right. I'm not crazy about it, but it was certainly a unique filmmaking process. The documentary
overly high expectations. Yeah, I don't know. But this cast looks great, so I'm hopeful. I loved his last two movies for sure. Last Flag Flying and Everybody Wants Some.
It's another Annapurna picture. They've been on a hot streak. Adapted from the book of the same name, Where'd You Go, Bernadette? So this is going to be another adapted screenplay, you would think. Cool. Getting its name in there. Kristen Wiig is another one that's kind of trying to take the plunge from comedy to more serious roles and be a true thespian, which I know a lot of people hated Mother and they mock me because of I loved it, but she was great in that movie, too. She was...
A couple scenes where it was interesting.
Bat shit. Yeah, totally. But
she's going to play Cheetah in Wonder Woman sequel, new villain.
I'm fascinated by that as well. And this is her taking her chances, and why not? She certainly earned the right to do so. She's provided enough laughs.
She's done a couple dramas that haven't really hit, but, you know, little small indie films.
Linklater, always confused by. He's just a man that might as well be the Riddler to me.
I didn't love Bernie either. I know a lot of people love Bernie. Like, that's one of their favorite underground hits.
I don't think I ever saw that one.
I wasn't a big fan.
I remember the hype going into it.
Everybody Wants Some made me laugh a lot. The next film is On the Basis of Sex, the story of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, her struggles for equal rights, and what she had to overcome in order to become a U.S. Supreme Court justice. Directed by Mimi Leder, who's helmed Pay It Forward, a bunch of TV, including, here's that name again, The Leftovers, Shameless, N.E.R. Written by Daniel Stiepelman, his first major IMDb credit, for the record. It stars... On the Basis of Sex stars Felicity Jones and Armie Hammer as the Ginsburgs.
Let's go. Let's go, Armie.
Justin Theroux, Kathy Bates, Sam Waterston, Stephen Root are the supporting cast members of note that I can see. The director has some chops. Hammer and Jones can really act. The supporting cast seems kind of terrific. My interest is piqued.
Justin Theroux and Kathy Bates as supporting characters are great. Sam Waterston, even though he's Sam Waterston in every role, including his Law and Order, long time.
All right, answer me this question. Yes, did you become a lawyer because of Sam Waterston?
I don't know how that's relevant to this conversation.
Are you a little worried about the legalese? You got a first-time screenwriter?
They tend to dumb it down a lot. Sometimes too much. Though the one that comes to mind is what we did, another Glenn Close movie, as a matter of fact, Fatal Attraction, when we did our 1987 Best Leading Actress category.
The legalese was rough in that.
It was too, so pathetically basic, because you don't have people's lawyers speaking in that basic of terms. So it could swing too much one the opposite way. But you hit the nail on the head. Felicity Jones doesn't get enough leading roles for my money. She's great. Armie Hammer, we both thought should have been a top two pick for Best Supporting Actor, didn't even get a nomination.
Yeah.
And Ruth Bader Ginsburg's an intriguing story. She's got a documentary, I believe, coming out about her life too, as well.
Oh, cool.
Which is getting a lot of momentum. So yeah, I think it's a story that's definitely worth telling. It certainly goes in line with the feminist movements that we've dealt with and we've talked about over and over again. I'm going to be seeing this one for sure. I hope that we hear its name come Oscar time as well.
Yeah, it's fun to see the movements that we've been, you know, following and covering, having ramifications on the production schedule, on the release schedule. So here we go. I mean, we're getting, you know, feminist heroes, getting them to have their own biopics now.
Yeah.
And that's important.
It really is.
And it's long overdue, obviously. And here we go. I hope they do them right. We're not going to pull any punches if we don't like the movie. I mean, shit, we didn't like Battle of the Sexes, and that's about one of the best people alive.
Big feminist movie.
And we hated that freaking movie.
So there is a way. I mean, there is a way to screw it up. It can be done. It's not one of those things where people will say, oh, you just like it because it's a feministic movie. Well, no. You can make filmmaking mistakes just the same as any other picture. We'll see.
All right, what's next, Mike?
Mary Poppins Returns being released. This is the Disney Christmas release. Emily Blunt reprising the Mary Poppins role for Disney. It's going to be their big Christmas release. In Depression-era London, a now-grown Jane and Michael Banks, along with Michael's three children, are visited by the enigmatic Mary Poppins following a personal loss. Through her unique magical skills, and with the aid of her friend Jack, she helps the family rediscover the joy and wonder missing from their lives. Rob Marshall, who did Chicago back in 2002, is directing, written by Dave McGee, who did Life of Pi and Finding Neverland. Emily Blunt, as we said, is Mary Poppins. Meryl Streep's in this. Colin Firth is in this. Dick Van Dyke is in this. Emily Mortimer, Angela Lansbury, and Hamilton's Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I can't live it down in my family, this story.
This should be good.
Apparently, when I was a toddler / little child, from up until six, I hope it was six or seven, not older.
14, 15.
Apparently, I would watch this movie on loop. Like,
really?
This was the one that they would play over and over again. It's explaining a lot to a lot of people right now. So I haven't really watched
and just
it
eating
since.
Sugar while you're watching. Spoonfuls and spoonfuls of sugar.
I haven't watched it really since. So perhaps I have an innate bias, but I don't know which way that bias is going to go. If like it's going to touch nerves with me, or if I'm just going to obviously love this movie because it is my whatever that stage of development was for me.
I have very similar feelings about the movie Cinderella.
Okay.
And I did that. I did that. And a lot of times I stayed home sick from school. I would just watch that up until I was like, 13. That's not important. I refuse to see any other made Cinderella properties, including non-Disney movies, Broadway plays, etc.
We've been relating to female-centric movies going way back, so we're not total phonies and bandwagon jumpers.
So I can understand for sure you not being comfortable with somebody who isn't Julie Andrews playing the Mary Poppins role.
It's funny.
Let's move on!
Yes, please! My Life on the Road is the last kind of movie we're going to profile in a large way. Then we're going to rip off some quick ones. The story of Gloria Steinem, who became a leading spokeswoman for the feminist movement in the 1960s and 70s. It is directed by Julia Taymor, who has helmed Frida, Across the Universe, Titus, The Tempest, a lot of Shakespeare.
It's on my bucket list to watch Across the Universe while just on a meth binge. One
meth,
day.
Really?
Well, we'll see. LSD, meth.
Oh, God. Anyway.
The hardest drug I've done is Tylenol. Okay, by the way, this is all talk.
Yeah, we're all talk. Written by Sarah Rule. I think it's one of her first credits there. Starring Julianne Moore as Gloria Steinem. It's already getting Best Director, Best Actress buzz here. It doesn't have a lot else available to figure out yet.
So this is tricky because obviously Julianne Moore, Best Actress, makes total sense.
Right.
we don't want to fall into the trap just saying that Greta Gerwig is like the first female director ever. What she did was remarkable last year, but obviously
there's a whole career, there's a whole filmography.
There's a lot of, but it is important. If she did nothing else, you do have to give her credit to kind of breaking that glass ceiling, to making sure, listen, there's going to be a woman nominated every year from here on out, because there has to be, and there damn well should be. There should have been for 15 years prior. Christ.
Sure.
So it's nice to see Sarah Ruhle. I don't know much about this movie. I don't know much about this movie, to be honest. So I know Gloria Steinem. I know her history. I know her legacy. It's very important. It's another big feministic movement with big feministic undertones. But you look at the last three movies we talked about. Gloria Steinem movie, Mary Poppins movie, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie. These are big, big feminist pictures. Sure. So, no, Greta Gerwig wasn't the first female director and the only female to ever make a movie starting in 2017. But I think she kind of led the way to change the Oscar light. And movies between her, the feminist movements, I think there's a lot of good being done. They paved the way for movies like this to come through and get the proper recognition they deserve.
Agreed. You took that one, man. I just can't. I got nothing else to say. Agreed.
So we're going to go through a lot of movies that are kind of dancing around the Oscar picture, might be around the Oscar picture. We'll see as they come out, as they get closer to release date. And we're just going to go through these as quickly as possible. Don't worry, he won't get far on foot. That's a Joaquin Phoenix, Jonah Hill, Jack Black, and Rooney Mara, directed by Gus Van Sant. Already got a lot of publicity about it.
Gotten some heat from the disabled community for sure.
Not unwarranted, I'd say. It's a legitimate gripe. So, yep. Star is Born, that's Lady Gaga, Bradley Cooper, both starring and directing in it. Bonnie Somerville, Sam Elliott. It's a musical, and Lady Gaga is going by her actual name.
Sure, directed by Cooper there. I don't know if this is a remake, like a country music remake of the...
It is.
Okay, of the Judy Garland movie?
Yeah.
Okay, which I've never seen, shamefully.
So good for us.
Okay.
Roma is next on the list, directed by the Oscar magnate Alfonso Cuarón.
Yeah, Children of Men, Gravity. I could see... But I think he's doing a Spanish language movie, so will this be a Best Foreign Film nominee? I don't know. I don't know if it's an English end. There's not a lot of information yet on this
one. Del Toro, Iñárritu, and Cuarón going
three amigos,
back to back,
man.
Again, winning those best directors over and over. The Miseducation of Cameron Post, a female version of the gay conversion therapy, starring Chloe Grace Moretz and Quinn Shepard. Jennifer L. also in this.
I wonder if it gets overshadowed by Boy Erased.
I always am fascinated to see how these competing companies always put out similar pictures
Isn't
in the
that
same
weird?
Year.
Yeah.
That said, I love Chloe Grace Moretz. I think she's a phenomenal talent and is really coming into her own, is going to be a force in the industry for years to come.
Sure, sure.
Last one I'll do, I'll hand the reins over to Mike. Best of Enemies, Taraji P. Henson, Sam Rockwell, civil rights activist versus the head of the KKK.
Yeah, this is not the documentary Best of Enemies about Gore Vidal and whoever he was. which was a good documentary, by the way.
Interesting subject matter, certainly of the time. Anytime you're dealing with those hallmarks of race, racial classification, gender classification, anything like that.
I remember hearing a Sam Rockwell interview during, obviously, this whole award season where he's like, I got to stop playing Southern racist characters. I'm done with it. I didn't know this was coming. Now he's the head of the KKK. All right. So, yeah, he's probably got to stop doing that. I'll rip through the next few here. The movie is called Gloria. It is from the director of A Fantastic Woman, Sebastian Lelio. His first English language film. And it stars Julianne Moore.
It's her year. It's the every other year we get the Julianne Moore Oscar push. So, yeah, she's due.
I mentioned this last episode. It's called The Front Runner. Juno and Tully's director, Jason Reitman. It's his second film of this coming year. The true story of a sex scandal derailing a political campaign, starring Hugh Jackman as the candidate, Vera Farmiga as his wife, and Sarah Paxton also stars.
I wonder what the...
I think Diablo Cody wrote it too, by the way.
Yeah, I don't understand the idea of putting both those movies out in the same year, this one and Tully. Why not space them out? Do one 2018, do one 2019.
Yeah, they're very different. I wonder if this is coming out more in Oscar prime time.
Maybe
so we'll hear something more about this one.
Want to be nominated twice.
At Eternity's Gate, a long-awaited film from Julian Schnabel from The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, which is a pretty good movie, I must say. Willem Dafoe plays Vincent van Gogh, and Oscar Isaac plays Paul Gauguin.
Yeah, and don't put it past Dafoe.
Gauguin. I suck.
Don't put it past Dafoe to actually cut off his own ear during the production of this.
I'm a film snob. I'm not a... No, this is true. I'm a film snob. I'm not a art snob. Bohemian Rhapsody.
Is this the real life? Is this... This is going to go on for 5 minutes. Just fantasy.
Queen lead singer. Freddie Mercury. No, it's his biopic. Bryan Singer was famously fired from this one.
Yeah, a lot of clashes between him and Mr. Robot there.
Starring, well yeah.
The guy that's in Mr. Robot anyway.
Rami Malek, yes.
Goddamn snob.
Okay, you're going to take the next view.
The Mercy, starring Colin Firth.
I quibble with your
Rachel Weisz.
Verbi tense on that one.
David Thewlis about an around-the-world sea voyage from the director of The Theory of Everything.
I don't know. Colin Firth is supposed to get a lot of credit here.
Colin Firth is so hit or miss with me. He's another... If him and Jason Clarke ever do a movie, it'll be the most perplexed I ever am as a human being. Old Man and the Gun, acclaimed director David Lowery from Ain't Them Body Saints. A Ghost Story and Peach Dragon does a movie about an old man bank robber starring Robert Redford, Elizabeth Moss, and Casey Affleck. How's that for a three-headed lead?
Every one of his movies, Lowery, is very watchable, very engaging. You know, you wonder when it's going to break out. I mean, he's done a lot of small movies, indie films before. Pete's Dragon really didn't play all that well for Disney, even though it got critically acclaimed.
Attached to Casey Affleck again. A Ghost Story was Casey Affleck as well. A lot of good publicity for that before.
Robert Redford, old bank robber.
Yeah, why not? And Elizabeth Moss won everything for Handmaid's Tale.
Sure.
Going right back into film now, so why not? Hotel Artemis is a futuristic thriller starring the mummy herself, Sophia Boutella, Sterling K. Brown, and Jodie Foster from the writer of Iron Man 3 and Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Anything with Sterling K. Brown attached to, as well as Sophia Boutella, I will see.
Yeah, she's awesome in the Kingsman movies, or she was just in the first one. She's in the first Kingsman, that is. And I didn't see the mummy. I was got too low.
I lied. I didn't either.
Oh, you did? Oh, I missed what you said.
Jodie Foster, obviously, is great in everything. I'd like to see her get a little Oscar recognition sooner.
Sterling K. Brown's got to start to star in movies. I mean, this has got to happen.
I don't know what the holdup is. It's coming.
But they're holding the plot under their vest right now for this one.
The Bourne series director Paul Greengrass's new film out that's going to be called Norway. And last... but not least, because it's probably winning Best Picture, Martin Scorsese's The Irishman.
Well, here's the thing. It may get pushed back to 2019.
Yeah, there are the rumbles from that have started, yes.
So, again, it's still Netflix, so who really knows? It's
a lot of money tied up in it.
A lot of pundits say it's still a possibility, so I don't know what they're doing.
If they do hold us for 2019... it's not going to be until award season 2019. So, you know, you're not getting this in January.
Right.
So this might be 2 years off, or it might be this year. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro, a lot of big names in it. It's a Scorsese movie. Could your hopes be higher for a movie? I mean, good God, he's getting the band back together. All that's missing is Leo.
I'm a little afraid because it's like, I have high hopes. Netflix is not... crushing it right now with their original programming. We'll have more on that in our Netflix quarterly. Then again, I'm optimistic about Veronica, which I haven't watched yet. I don't know, dude.
So let's go through quick. We're going to do our way too early Oscar picks. Just rifle through the categories because we have very little exposure to any of these. So these are going to be total shots in the dark. But you can laugh at us later for them. Best actor, we've narrowed the list down to Christian Bale for Backseat, Steve Carell for Beautiful Boy or The Woman of Marwen, Ryan Gosling for First Men, Lucas Hedges for Boy Erased, Robert Redford for Old Man and the Gun, and Colin Firth for The Mercy. Michael.
I have no idea. I want to say it feels like a Steve Carell year. I got double chances.
It does feel like a Steve Carell year. You're not
Christian
wrong.
Christian Bale, but that's like tonal juggling. I don't know.
I'm going to go. That's Christian Bale is my... I'm between Bale and Gosling at first blush. I'm going to go Christian Bale. Hollywood loves when actors and actresses go ugly, put that weight on and do the stuff themselves. So I'm going to say Backseat does it. And Bale's my pick, and your way too early pick is, you said?
I'll go with Carell for the moment.
Which one? Come on. Pick one movie.
I have to pick one?
Pick one movie.
Oh, darn it. Beautiful Boy. I'll say.
All right. Fair enough. Best Actress, we've narrowed the list down. Saoirse Ronan for Mary, Queen of Scots. Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me? Viola Davis for Widows. Glenn Close for The Wife. Felicity Jones for On the Basis of Sex. Emily Blunt for Mary Poppins Returns. Julianne Moore for My Life on the Road. And Taraji P. Henson for The Best of Enemies.
I'm going to say my pick right now is Viola Davis from Widows.
That's mine too.
Just my, you know, buzz-related pick. I don't know. Saoirse Ronan's got a lot of momentum.
Saoirse Ronan and Margot Robbie. I don't know how she's coming much up. They're sharing the screen there. But yeah. All right, you want to read supporting actor?
Sure. Michael B. Jordan for Black Panther.
Yes!
Timothy Chalamet for Beautiful Boy.
Also yes!
Russell Crowe from Boy Erased. Joel Edgerton, if I say it
that's
correctly.
His name. Yes.
Also from Boy Erased, Sam Rockwell and Steve Carell and Tyler Perry, all from Backseat, are getting buzz. Lin-Manuel Miranda from Mary Poppins Returns. Guy Pearce from Mary, Queen of Scots.
Underrated Guy Pearce.
J.K. Simmons, former winner from Whiplash. He's in The Front Runner. Sterling K. Brown from Hotel Artemis.
Fingers crossed, man.
And Corey Stoll from First Man. He's from House of Cards for a while there. He's also on The Strain. Yep. Yeah, tall, bald guy.
I'm hoping it's either Michael B. Jordan or Sterling K. Brown. I really want this to be the year of Sterling K. Brown's star turn, A-list star turn, because he has everything you would look for. Oh, I'll go Michael B. Jordan. Why not? I was enamored with Black Panther. I loved his character.
Sure. Some force inside of me is picking Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, God.
But I think I'm going to resist
it. For Mary Poppins?
I think I'm going to resist it. I can't help it, Mike. It's a force within me.
You're an idiot. You're a fool. Who could possibly pick him from this list of movies none of us have seen?
I think Russell Crowe just feels like a possibility there. If he's playing, but then again, bad guys don't get picked. I don't know, dude. This is loaded. Steve Carell is not going to get picked because
you don't think so?
He's getting picked for best actor. I mean, it's very
pick him for both. Let him win both.
J.K. Simmons, they won't pick him. It's not his year, right?
No, it's not gonna
so you, I sense. Think you pick my favorite guy. You know, my favorite rising star in the category, Sterling K. Brown. Boy, I don't know. Timothy Chalamet maybe gets a supporting actor for Beautiful Boy.
You've named everybody, so who's your pick?
Timothy Chalamet. All right. So, supporting actress, Margot Robbie from Mary, Queen of Scots, Amy Ryan from Beautiful Boy, Nicole Kidman from Boy Erased, Amy Adams from Backseat, Cynthia Erivo from Widows, Claire Foy from First Man, Kate Blanchett from Where'd You Go, Bernadette, FYI, this role is also getting Best Actress buzz, so that's a tweener. And Lady Gaga for A Star Is Born. Mike? That's tough.
It is tough. It is a loaded field. Boy, can't you see Lady Gaga taking it?
I hope not. That feels like a share. I like Lady Gaga.
Can't you see the EGOT, though? Them setting up that table for that EGOT?
I'm rooting for her.
I'll say Lady Gaga. It's too early. She's got as good a chance as any of these. But
I'm rooting for Margot Robbie or Claire Foy. I'll say Margot Robbie at the moment. But,
all right. I'm glad one of us did. I wanted to.
Kate Blanchett is always good. I don't know.
And Claire Foy could be a household name. I keep pushing that narrative.
And Best Director, I got this off of the Observer article there. They have Adam McKay from Backseat, Barry Jenkins, If Beale Street Could Talk, Julie Taymor from My Life on the Road, Damien Chazelle from First Man, and Mimi Later for On the Basis of Sex.
I'll tell you, if these movies are all do what they seem like they could do with the people attached to them.
They don't even have Steve McQueen from Widows.
Yeah, we're in for another big year, another spoiled rotten year. This could be a golden age of movies we're entering.
I still say that Steve McQueen from Widows feels the most Oscar-y
to me. It certainly does. I'm looking at this list and trying to decide why.
But they probably wouldn't
over.
Give it to him again. Damien Chazelle's already been rewarded. I don't know. It also feels like if My Life on the Road or On the Basis of Sex are any good, a female director is going to get a lot of momentum this year.
Yeah, Julie Taymor is the one that jumps out to me most, if not McQueen.
I don't know. Adam McKay's got the highest upside, perhaps.
He's got the highest degree of difficulty.
Right.
Pulling off that type of movie. I don't think they'd go Chazelle again so soon, regardless of how good it is. I'll say Julie Taymor for now, and subject to change when we look back next time.
Feels right. I'll take a gamble, Adam McKay.
Why not?
I'll take a gamble.
All right, we'll cap it off. We're not going to do a screenplay for this round, but let's do a best picture. You just heard us run through a zillion titles upcoming. Also, Mike, give me a name.
I'm just going to say Widows for now. I
don't see how it's not. That's my pick as well. Don't see how it's not.
Well, I mean, we got to see the movie.
Yeah. It's just Viola Davis yelling for 2 hours. Even that would be nominated.
Blowing boogers and crying.
Yeah,
Oscars.
Yeah. So that's our picks right now. It's way too early. You can hold those against us at some point down the line. We're going to be looking back again some point in the future, probably after the summer blockbusters have hit and kind of sorted themselves out.
We're an Oscar podcast. We're going to be looking back at this. Yes.
It's what we do. Again, guys, anything you want to hear? Do you have any favorites? Do you have any leaders in Clubhouse or any good feelings about any pictures or performances coming up? Let us know.
Have you seen these at an obscure film festival anywhere yet?
Are you, in fact, Ryan Gosling? Let us know.
Let us know.
Well, you can hit us up on social media. Mike and Oscar on Facebook. Mike and Oscar on Instagram. MM and Oscar on Twitter. MikeMikeAndOscar@gmail.com. MikeMikeAndOscar on Reddit. We got the website coming soon. We're going to keep teasing that until it's more serious. And reality sucks, someone once said. So why don't you keep watching movies with us?
You need to. The news has sucked quite a bit. So, yeah, we're having fun. These have been fun. These post-Oscar pods have been a lot of fun. So if you haven't been listening, you know, you kind of gave us a break because we flooded you with 1,000 podcasts in a month's span, and you're just kind of getting back to it. Yeah, we've had a couple palate cleansers over the last few weeks, just Josh and having fun with it.
And but
then again, I just said the word Josh, and you may discredit everything that I've ever said because of that. I apologize.
How dare you?
Yes.
If you're watching the NCAA tournament right now, be on the lookout next week.
No, mute. You know what? Yes, but mute the NCAA tournament if Gus Johnson is not.
Yes,
announcing.
Fair.
Okay, and listen to us.
That's but if he is announcing, by all means, listen to Gus Johnson.
Listen to Gus Johnson.
We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for checking us out.